Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 12 through and 13. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. He is to undergo a period of testing. This testing reveals the character of our Lord. When I was in my youth, for about 2 months, I worked for the Texas Highway Department. We would go out into the highways that were being built and in places there were bridges being built. And in order to know the structural integrity of the bridge, you would take a bit of the concrete that was used for the bridge and you would place it into this steel box. And the box was cured full of that concrete, and it would take a number of days. And you would break open that box and you would put it on this tester. It would push against that concrete until you know how much pressure that it could take in order to break that concrete block. Jesus was tested much like that concrete. The automobiles we drive are tested on proving grounds, knowing how long they'll last before certain things need to be repaired. How good the tires are, how good the transmission is, how long the engine will last, so that they can know how much to charge you, most likely. Soldiers are tested. They are tested from the first day that they put the uniform on. They are tested in every aspect of being a soldier, from how much endurance they have to how well they can do their jobs. As a unit, they are tested. Individually, they are tested. As an army, they are tested during times of war. Testing is simply part of those things that we place our trust in. Our Lord underwent the most intense period of testing ever known to mankind. As we note the tests and the results of those tests, let's recognize that our Lord is the tested and certified Christ. Tested and certified. We'll get into what that means at the end. Let's notice the conditions of the testing. The testing was rigorous in its surroundings, in the wilderness. He was isolated. There was no help. There was no help nearby. He had no food. He was hungry. Parallel passage, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2, gives us an idea of what we're dealing with. The Judean wilderness is not a place that you want to go without knowing what you're doing. It's a rigorous place. It's a place where you can get lost and you can, as a police officer friend put it, you can get DRT right quick. DRT is dead right there. That's the way it is out there in that wilderness situation. I don't know if there are places in Missouri like that, but there are in Texas. If you don't know what you're doing, you can be dead pretty quick. The Judean wilderness is much like that. Unless you know where the water is, unless you know where the shade is, unless you know where the food is, you're not going to last very long. He had no food. He was hungry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I don't know about taking a show of hands, but how many have fasted in this congregation? Have truly gone 24 hours, 48 hours, more without eating? He fasted 40 days. Now, what does that do to the human body? It takes away every bit of waste that you have on your body. There won't be any muscle that you don't need. There won't be any fat that you don't need. There won't be anything that you don't need. You're as light as you can be, and you are at the end of your tether after 40 days. You have to have something to eat. And so at that point, if you're tempted, what are you going to do? What are you likely to do if someone places food in front of you? But he had no food. He was with the wild beasts. He was alone. The testing was rigorous in its duration. It was a period of 40 days. Perhaps not so significant until we realize that the testing was rigorous in its intensity. Perhaps you've been tested in some way. Perhaps you've been tested in the military, and you can remember some sergeants and if you're in the Navy, some what do they call those? CPOs, petty officers, chief petty officers. Perhaps you can remember some of those that weren't particularly nice people. If you were in the military, I guarantee it, you weren't tested by the devil. You weren't tested by Satan himself. Jesus underwent that kind of testing. We only have a brief exchange of some of the things that was said between Christ and Satan. I can imagine that there was a lot more that we are not privy to. The testing was rigorous in its intensity. This is seen in the administrator of the test, also in the tests themselves. Now, let's notice the tests. Command stones to become bread. Instant provision. You've been without food for 40 days, and you know you're able to do that. Why not? Why don't you do it? Because God Almighty, the ruler of heaven and earth, commanded you to go out into the wilderness and to fast. That's why. Command stones to become bread. It's a test of submission. Who are you going to submit to? Are you going to submit to your own wants? Or are you going to submit to what Satan suggests? Or are you going to submit to God? Can you imagine a more rigorous test on submission? Cast yourself down from the temple. He takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple. It doesn't mean he takes him up to the top of the temple. There's a place that is on the outside wall of the temple that it's a long way down into the valley below. There's a place there where you can fall a long way. And so he puts him on that spot. Why don't you just jump down? Instant fame, but it would only serve to glorify himself. Now, Jesus was here to glorify the Father in heaven. And so he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he said, bow down and rule over the kingdoms. Bow down to Satan and I'll give you everything. He says, no. Instant power. Jesus had all authority in heaven and in earth. But Caesar didn't think so. Herod didn't think so. None of the other rulers of the planet thought so. Satan said, I'm in control of these guys. I can give it to you. And Jesus said, no. Think about it. If you were in control, how much good could you do? But Jesus wasn't here to do that. Jesus was here to seek and to save the lost. And so he said, no. Rather than being turned aside by what Satan was suggesting, he said, no, I'll stay the course. I'll stay out hungry in this wilderness for just as long as the Father wants me out here. I won't have instant fame. There's going to be enough to cause fame in Jesus' life. I don't need instant power. You see, my Father rules in the kingdoms of men. Don't need that. And so he said, no. Try if you will. Try it. Think about it for days, weeks, months. And I challenge you to think of greater tests. Greater tests for anyone on this planet. Can you think of any chance that you wouldn't take the bait that Satan laid out? I don't know. It's a great test. I would like to think I would say no, but a lot of people have said yes to instant this and instant that. We want it now. Let's notice the results, the certification. Jesus, because he is certified, because you know that he has passed the test, will not grow weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, if you will. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, where the Apostle Paul commands the brethren in the churches of Galatia, he commands them not to grow weary in well-doing. And we can follow that command because our Lord lived through it. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Whom shall we follow? Shall we follow Satan, which would have us have everything instantly, or will we be satisfied with due season? That's what Jesus chose, and that's what we all ought to choose. Because Jesus is tested, we know that he will not grow weary in well-doing. We know also that he will not accept the standards of man. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. What standards is he willing to accept? The standards of God. Only the standards of God. Always the standards of God. Matthew 15, 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Judgment Day, one day, there will be a great law library. And it will include all the standards of men. There will be the commandments of all the popes. There will be the commandments of all the synods and all the councils that have ever been put together. There will be the teachings of John Calvin. There will be the teachings of Ulrich Zwingli. There will be the teachings of the canons of the Church of England. They will all be there. God knows all these things, but they will not be referred to. The only thing that will be referred to is the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is what judges us. The teachings of Christ, the words of Christ, John chapter 12, verse 48. That's the only thing that will be referred to. What is he doing to the doctrines and commandments of men? Basically, he's wadding them up, throwing them into the wastebasket. He will not be swayed. And so we can understand that when we accept the doctrines and commandments of men, whether it is from someone great in the past or whether it's Aunt Sally in the present who just won't look at the book of God, whether it's one or the other, Jesus will not accept it. He accepts the standard of God and God alone. He cannot be bought because he is tested and certified. We understand that he cannot be bought. Matthew chapter 26, verse 15. Matthew 26, verse 15. And said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. An apostle of God, covenanted with the Jews to give Jesus to them. Jesus will never do that. He has been tested. He has been certified. He has been offered the kingdoms of the world, and he rejected it. He cannot be bought. He cannot be distracted. He will not deviate from the Father's will. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. In this great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this: not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, there in verse 21, who is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven? You cannot offer Jesus something else. You cannot offer him what you think of as great. You cannot offer him something to distract him from what God has said, from what the Father has said. Matthew 26, verse 42. Matthew 26, verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He will not deviate from the Father's will. Not even if it costs him all the pain that what he was going through caused him. Some people said he prayed these things because he was going to be crucified, and the pain of the crucifixion was so much that caused it. I don't believe so. What about your sin? Can you deal with your own sin? Think about all the people in this room. If the guilt of everyone's sin in this room were placed upon you, could you deal with it? Now think about all the people in the state of Missouri. Surely there are millions of people here. Think about all of those. It's all on you. What kind of pain would you be in? What kind of distress? Now think about all the people in this country. What is there, 300 million or more? 300 million people, and their sins are on you. Now think about all the world of all time. All of that sin is on you. And it was on him before going to the cross. He carried your sin to the cross. That's the kind of pain that he was in. And he said, Father, if it be your will, take it from me, but if not, thy will be done. He carried your sin, and he will not deviate from the Father's will. The tested and certified Christ will not cave in times of adversity. Luke chapter 22 and verse 60, please. Luke chapter 22 and verse 60. Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. He went through times of great adversity, but he never did cave. He never did change. He never did go a different path because there was hard times coming. That's the kind of Lord that has been tested and certified. Have you gotten the idea yet that we can trust him? Have you gotten the idea yet that he is the place that we want to go when our most precious thing is involved? Our souls, we can trust with him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. The tested and certified Christ is spotless. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 25. We take this testimony of the Apostle Peter. Testimony is important. I'm going to preach on that in the future. But we see the testimony of Peter, one who was with him for 3.5 years. And we learn from him, one that ought to have known the character of Jesus, that character was spotless. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's the kind of character he had. We can trust someone like that, someone who is clean in his life. The tested and certified Christ will not embarrass the cause because of shady areas in his life. He holds Scripture in the highest regard. He will do the Father's will in private. There's so many that do the Father's will in public, but when they get off to themselves, that fails in their life. Their character will not hold up. He will not seek his own glory. He will trust in God's provision. When Jesus himself said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you." He was speaking for himself too. He trusted in God for his provision, and it was provided. Matthew 6, verse 33. The tested and certified Christ will not use his power for personal advantage. Can you imagine the Caesar in Rome with the kind of power that Jesus had, not taking over the entire planet? He could have done it by sundown with that kind of power, but Jesus had that power and never, never used it for personal advantage. John 19, verse 23. John 19, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Think about what would happen if someone had your personal property. Well, you want that property back, but they're laughing at you and making fun of you and holding it at arm's length, and you can't get your property back, whether it's a hat or a coat or a purse or whatever it might be. If you had the power of Jesus, what would you do? What would you do? What did Jesus do? Jesus stayed on the cross. He stayed the course. He kept with his primary mission to seek and to save the lost. There were at the foot of his cross men that were parting the garments that he wore. That means he wasn't wearing any garments up there. How embarrassed must the situation have been? And yet he did not use his power to correct the situation. No, he stayed the course. That's the tested and certified Christ. He will not seek political power. John 18, verse 36. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus has no dog in the hunt. Jesus does not want to win the presidential election. Jesus does not want to rule on this earth. His Father does that. God rules in the kingdoms of men. Always has been, always will be. But Jesus has a different role. Today, he sits at the right hand of God, and he is your high priest, and he is the intermediary between you and God. He is your Savior, and he doesn't deviate from that job. Jesus, the tested and certified Christ, will not be tempted by the easy way. Matthew 26, verse 42. Matthew 26, verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." There was another way, God would have told him, but there was not. Jesus had to die for mankind because no one else could do it. It was a difficult thing, but the blood of Jesus Christ is the most precious substance in the universe, and that's what it takes in order to cleanse sin. And so it had to be shed. Jesus would not take the easy way. He doesn't take the easy way now, and suggests no easy way for you. He is not tempted by it. I want you to get this clearly. He will be absolutely, utterly true to the Father. He will worship none other, ever. Oftentimes, we're tempted to worship ourselves. It's our own will that we want to follow. After all, we're of age. After all, we're in the United States. We have rights and we have powers, and we want to exercise them. Jesus didn't. Jesus did what the Father said and passed on the word of the Father to his apostles, who passed it on to us. He would not deviate from it. He was true to God. That's the tested and certified Christ. He has been tested. He has been certified. He is able. He is willing. You can trust him when he gives a promise. Now we get to it. Promises have been given. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Things that the apostles were able to trust and go forward because they knew him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If you don't believe that, time to close your Bible and pitch it in the garbage on the way out. Or place it in a museum as a curiosity of time past. If you don't believe those things, if Jesus is not tested and certified, if he is not worthy of your trust, why be here? He is worthy, though. He was tested in every way possible for someone to be tested. He passed. More than passed, he is able to take on any challenge of your soul. He is able to guide you. He is able to prepare a place for you. He is able to inspire you. He is able to do all these things that we need to give you an example, to give you a light that you can see to go home. To go home. That's where he is. And he said to the Apostle John, we'll be like him. We shall see him as he is. There may be someone here tonight that needs Jesus. I want you to know that he is able to save you. If you were to give your will over to him, if you were able to give your life over to him, if you were to obey his commands on what to do to be saved, you'll be different than you are right now. Right now, you're headed for a different place, a place that we will discuss another time in vivid detail. But tonight, I want to point out where Jesus is in heaven. And if you want to go there, if you want to go there, you need to trust him. And in trusting him is obeying him. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible says that we need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and gives us examples in order to do that. He tells us that we need to repent of sins, that if we don't repent, we will perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. And we need to be baptized for the removal, the remission, the forgiveness of our sins. And if you haven't done that, I implore you to do that today, to do that now. If we can assist you in your obedience, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to ask God for forgiveness right there in your seat, let's do that right now. And if we can assist, come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.